Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Good morning, good morning. Yes. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, don't you just love meeting with God like that? And his presence. Oh, Father. Oh. Oh, come on, Jesus. You know, just more and more we just want to meet with him in his presence, don't we? Here. And when we're on our own or when we're in our houses, when we're, I don't know, in the car, just the presence of God, wherever we are, just he's, I don't know about you, but it's like this, it's like he's right there, right here, tangible, thick presence of God. And it's like, he's amazing. And you know, he wants to just reveal himself more and more to us. He wants to reveal who he is more and more to his people, more and more to this world that needs him. His glory, his love, his presence, that just, I don't know about you, but it just gets you right here. Gets you right here. I found it no surprise this morning when, or a couple of weeks ago, when Clive said to me that he was going to be away and that there were dedications. And we gave the parents the option of whether they would wanted to do the dedications another time and for him to do them, or for them to, for me to do it with Sally. And they all came back and said we'd go for it with me and Sally. And but the Lord has had me on a course of praying for a while now for the next generation. And so when I thought I'd get my hands on these babies, you know, and just hold them and pray for them and just speak over them what God's got for them, I knew it was right. Because, you know, when we pray, then God gets you to do something, doesn't he? So, yeah, the Lord's been speaking to me a while about releasing the next generation, okay? Releasing the next generation. And it's not just about babies and children that are being born. And we've had, I think we counted up, 10 babies born in the last year. Okay, 10 babies born in the last year. We've got 3 more due. In Crawley, that's 10 babies here in Horsham in this congregation, 3 more due in Crawley congregation. And so the Lord's been speaking to me about a generation of time and releasing the next generation. And the next generation, we've heard already from this platform about being in the harvest that's to come in. Amen. God grows his church, doesn't he? Jesus said, I will build my church. And he shifts things in seasons. And this, we're in a season shift in Kingdom Faith, okay? We're in a season shift, a next generation of time. And Clive and I, we originated from this church. He was born into the family, the Urquhart family. And then I got married into it when I got saved. And then, so 25 years ago, I had my first child. And the Lord spoke to me when Joe was born, when we dedicated to him, God had always spoken over Joe that he was a mighty warrior, okay? And we just called him Joe, not Joseph. It was Joe. It didn't really have a sort of, you know, meaning. But God just kept speaking over him, and it was confirmed that he was a mighty warrior. And so when we dedicated him, we prayed that there would be many more like him. Not that I would have many more like him, if you like. I went on to have 2 more, but just in the body, many more mighty warriors being raised up. And God's been speaking to me about the fact that he's just turned 25, and he's not here at the moment. He's in the States, working, married, and about to have his own child. So there's this generation shift. He's 25 and about to have his first daughter in 2.5 weeks. She's due. So there's this shift going on. And so the Lord's been speaking about it, and I had some other stuff for the babies, but I'm going to give those to the parents themselves. But anyway, this word, like this mighty warrior, and the whole thing about Jack being a Jack Slayer, Jack the Giant Slayer, sorry, Jack the Giant Slayer, is and we've been hearing, haven't we, that God is raising up his army, he's raising up his church as an army in the nations. He's calling on us to stand, to rise up with our shields, as we were hearing last week. If you haven't heard the word from last week, just please go online and listen to that word. It was excellent. And I'm just flowing on from that, really, today. Our shields and our swords, he's rising up his army. this whole new generation of time where these new ones being all these babies that have been born. He's growing his church through childbirth, if nothing else. all those that are going to come in, the 5,000 households that we are praying for and believing for, in amongst those households are mighty men and women and children of God. Amen. And we're going to see them come in. We're going to see them added into this body and rise up. I read an interesting scripture last night. I was looking into the whole 25 thing. And there was a scripture in Numbers 8 that talks about the Levites, the priests, going into the temple, entering the temple, entering service at 25 years of age. Okay? But when they're 50, they're to retire. That's me. It's written. It's written. At 50, they can retire. But they can stay assisting in the temple and standing guard. So that's my job, okay? So the day that Joe turned 25, I messaged him. And you know there's a scripture about train up a child in the way they should go. And that's obviously for parents, not just the you know children's workers in the church. But we're to train up our children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. So we do this by faith, don't we? We do. As parents, we do this by faith. If I teach my children about the Lord, about God's love, who he is, they're going to, at some point, whether they detour or not, they are going to come back to the word of the Lord, okay? And anyway, so I messaged him on his birthday and I said, well, now you're old, it's your turn. Pass it on, pay it forward, wherever it goes. So it's interesting that this morning we've been, you know, looking at the babies' names and what they mean as well. God's been having me study about the name Urquhart in all this, because Urquhart is the name of Colin Urquhart, who founded Kingdom Faith. And it's an interesting name because there's an Urquhart clan in Scotland, if you didn't know this. I'm just going to read you a few little things about this. Okay, so this is one of the most famous names, famous Scottish clan surnames, okay? Thank you. It originates from the Barony of Urquhart on Loch Ness in Inverness. So if you've ever seen Loch Ness, there's a castle on it, a ruin of a castle, and that's Urquhart Castle, okay? And as such, the clan have always been geographically centrally placed to influence the course of Highland history. So just hear what's going on behind here, okay? What is in the name? What is in that destiny, okay? They are geographically centrally placed to influence the course of the history of where they're placed. Amen? The early history of the clan is shrouded in mystery, but it would seem that they held the hereditary position of the sheriff of that place. So all through the medieval time, they were sheriffs. Okay, so they were leaders in their area and in their time. And whenever you think of sheriff, I don't know about you, but you sort of think of, you know, Western films, if you know, in the States when they have these little sheriff badges on and little posses. Well, sheriffs originated over here, and they did take care of law and order in their area, in their shire, okay? And they did have posses. If they had to go and sort something out, they would take a group with them. So they would move out in their posse. So sheriff, the local early name meant a spear or a stone thrower or an early warrior. So I had no idea when we named Joe, you know, this is a great mighty warrior, but God did, okay? So the Urquharts have never been far from action. They're two knights within their, you know, whatever. Yeah, down through their line. There have been two knights, there have been sirs. And even as recently as 1944, when Brigadier General Urquhart led the Airborne Division in the famous Second World War Battle of Arnhem. The coat of arms granted to the chief of the clan and dating from the time of Robert the Bruce is the golden shield with three red boar's heads, and the boar's heads imply exceptional ferocity in the face of the enemy. Come on. And there's a woman there holding a sword. Okay. She's naked, but we forget that bit. Anyway. I'm not going to do that bit. So the Urquharts were loyal to the king. And because they were rewarded as being sheriffs. They would keep the king's peace in the shire that they ruled in. Okay. They would keep the king's peace. They would keep law and order. They were responsible for the proclamation of the accession of a new sovereign. Come on. We declare the king's coming. Amen. We announce him coming. And the Lord's been speaking to me about this season that we're in, like John the Baptist announcing that the arrival of the bridegroom, the arrival that he is coming. And that's part of our responsibility, isn't it, to announce his coming. Okay, they were messengers. This phrase keeps coming to my mind about Mercury rising. And it's like the temperature's rising. It's like God's on the move. Something's happening. We can sense it, can't we, as church? And Mercury rising is the temperature going up, but it's also Mercury. He was a messenger to the gods. Okay, so we're messengers, aren't we, of the good news? We are all responsible. We're given authority to rule and reign over our area, over our patch, by God. So that's, you know, what's in a name? With the founding father of this place, okay, Kingdom Faith will carry his call on his life and the call of God, okay? It's all in there, but it's also who we are as people. Everyone that comes into Kingdom Faith, you come into this anointing and this call, this apostolic leadership anointing. And that's why Kingdom Faith produces so many leaders. It produces men, women, and children that can lead wherever they're placed. We've seen it throughout all the years. Our Bible college trains to such a high degree, not necessarily of written stuff or academia, but in a spirit, we are leaders. That's who we produce because that's who we're called to be. As Urquharts, as sheriffs, in our patch, ruling and reigning on his behalf. Amen? Amen. And that's every single one of us. Like I said, not just the babies. It's every single one of us rising up into who we are called and chosen to be in Kingdom Faith and as part of his kingdom. God spoke to me recently about getting alongside the next generation more in terms of different aspects that I'm involved in and prayer. And God said to me, I want to release the prophetic through that generation. And they're the ones having dreams and visions. They're the ones hearing God in a very clear, specific way. There's a 13-year-old girl from Crawley, who I haven't got together to pray with yet, but she gave me a word through somebody else about a prayer action that needs to happen in Crawley that is very specific and very powerful that we're going to be going to do. This is from a 13-year-old. God is releasing dreams and visions and words, and they're going to come through you as you're available, but also the next generation, the young ones, the teenagers, those are going to come in and get saved. God is moving by his spirit. It's a release of his spirit across this, for this next generation of time that causes all of us to rise up to a new place. Amen. We're called to be watchmen. Let's have a look at Isaiah 21. Clive took us there last week. Talking about the enemy coming against the people of God. It says the enemy is preparing a great feast. They're spreading rugs for people to sit on. Everyone is eating and drinking. But quick, grab your shields and prepare for battle. Or oil your shields, as Clive was speaking about last week. Oil your shields, prepare for battle. You are being attacked. Okay, and that part of that oiling was like everything we're doing at the moment in this season as a church, in praying together, in reading the word, getting the word into our own lives, okay, is oiling, is all part of oiling the shields and getting ready for battle. And he was describing that these shields they would use in ancient times, especially when this scripture was written, they had wooden shields, very big wooden shields with layers and layers of leather of animal skin over them. And they would oil them to keep them supple. They would oil them so that if fiery darts came against them, they wouldn't stick, they wouldn't stay, they would fall to the ground. We're oiling our shields. God is preparing us for battle. because there's a war for the souls of men and women out there. Meanwhile, the Lord said to me, put a watchman on the city walls. Let him shout what he sees. He looks out for chariots drawn by pairs of horses and for riders on donkeys and camels. Let the watchman be fully alert. And the watchman called out, day after day I've stood on the watchtower, my Lord. Night after night I've remained at my post. Now at last, look, here comes a man in a chariot with a pair of horses. We are to stand guard over this next generation. We are to take our place as church over the young ones, over those that God's raising up, over the households that we're looking to see saved, that God has spoken to us about, families coming into the church, families coming into the kingdom. It's our job to be ready for them. It's our job to fight for them. They need saving. They need to hear the word. It's our God. It's our job to bring the word, to be the messengers, yeah? It's our job to stand in the gates. Like Isabel was sharing last week, when God told her to stand in the gates of Horsham, the different roadways into Horsham, to stand and pray and fight and guard. That's our job. He's mobilizing us. Because it's time, isn't it? All of us have promises of God, but they all involve people. They all involve people. They involve souls. Okay, and our response is really important at this time. So the reading we're doing is going deeper to go further. It's to be strong, it's to stand strong. It was in the word we had in Deuteronomy, the beginning of all the end of last year, when God was saying, bring all the people together and teach the children the word so they would grow up in the fear of the Lord. That's what we're doing in this day as well. The fear of the Lord, the presence of the Lord is so much stronger, is so much stronger, and there's more. Isn't there? There's so much more. If we're reading through scriptures every month, we're doing different books. We've just finished John, and it's interesting that the last chapter of John, Jesus is talking to Peter and asking him if he loves me. He's saying, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, we love you. We would all say that. And he says, feed my sheep. And again, do you love me? Are you even my friend? That last bit means as he says it. Are you even my friend? And Peter's like, yes, Lord. He says, feed my sheep. So loving him looks like something. Loving him means being involved in somebody else's life. The lost ones that Jesus is looking for, his sheep, his young ones that he's raising up. Every single one of us has a responsibility. If we say, yes, Lord, I love you, he's feed my sheep. That wasn't just Peter's role. It's every single one of us. If we're a parent, the greatest job we have is to train our children in the way they should go. Especially dads, if you're a dad here today, your greatest role, the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is bring your children up in the Lord. Okay? It's interesting that we've moved on to Timothy today. And as you read Timothy, just get God's heart for Paul investing in the next generation. Get Paul's heart for investing in the next generation. Watchman over the next generation coming in. So he's going to give prayer strategies as we're praying, as we're reading. There's destinies out there and in here that need releasing. And it's the time that we're in. The time that we're in to see every single one of us free, free to do what he's asking of us, free to move out, okay? To move into destiny, to move into our inheritance, and to help others come into theirs. I had recently, I was praying at home, and I looked out into the garden, and I was watching these jaybirds. And they're really pretty little birds. And there's a few of them. There's a couple. They're always in pairs. And then there was a smaller one. And these birds they hang out a lot in our garden because apparently they hang out around oak trees. If birds hang out, you know what I mean. Jaybirds love oak trees. And so, because we've got a big one, that's obviously why they're there, because normally they're in woods. And I was watching these birds looking out for one another. One would fly down to the ground, try and get a whatever, worm, whatever they do. And then the other one was sitting in the tree undercover, watching it. And then this one that was on the ground would fly up to the tree, and then the other one would come down. And they watch each other. They watch out for each other all the time. And as they were doing this, all of a sudden they flew off, and I saw this huge, great big black crow come flying over the garden. And straight away I said, "You're not having them." And the Lord spoke to me. As I said it, it's like, that's my heart for the next generation. That's my heart for these young birds, that they are not taken out by the enemy. And he's looking for them. That's why we have to be looking out for one another and on guard for one another, because the enemy is out to steal, kill and destroy. And he's out to stop households coming in. He's out to prevent them. And that's why we stand in the gap and we pray release for these families. And know the enemy will not stop them. Amen. And I knew this crow had been getting at the birds, because I found a bird in our garden a couple of weeks ago that had just, there was just this mass of feathers and this bird that had just been ripped apart. And I thought the cat had done it. And then Toby said to me, "No, it wasn't the cat. I saw this black bird take this. It was a pigeon. Take this pigeon out." He just went for it and got it. And I didn't know birds did that. Well, I suppose they did, but I didn't really realize that crows do that to a pigeon. And that's what the enemy wants to do. But it's our job for people to stand guard. And what was interesting, I felt to just look up about jaybirds and what they do. And they love to collect acorns, okay? They collect acorns, and they'll bury them somewhere. They'll for later on, okay? Not just squirrels, but jays do this as well. They collect them, and they can bury between 2,000 and 3,000 acorns a month. And as soon as I read that, God again was speaking to me that the fruit that's coming, the exponential growth and fruit that is coming, is immense. There's an acceleration in what God is doing in these days. That's why we need to be doing what we are called to do. We need to be praying. We need to be standing guard. We need to be helping protect the next generation. We need to be calling in the next generation. Amen? Amen. Okay, this scripture. The earth groans for the sons of God to be revealed. The earth groans. The earth and all its people are dying. They are groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. Not the Son of God to be revealed. It's the sons of God to be revealed. All of us that believe in Jesus, the Son of God, that have the Son of God living in us because we've asked him to come and be our Lord and Savior, the earth is groaning for us to rise up, for God on the inside of us to be allowed to rise up and show who he is, speak who he is, bring him to the world. Amen. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. I'm going to say that again. Because this is us. That creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Amen. We are the ones living in glorious freedom. Some of you sound like you might believe it. We are the ones living in glorious freedom to bring that to this world that so needs it. Yeah. Okay, so Sally's going to flow on from me, and then we're waiting for all the children. They're going to come back in a minute, and we're all going to pray together. So Sally, do you want to come on up? Just welcome Sally up.
You're right.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
God's given me so much to say, and I'm just trying to. Obviously, I'm invited to talk about the next generation. I could keep you here till next Thursday. So but I just want to pick out a couple of things just to say, to just reconfirm what James just said, really. When we prayed together in the week, God gave me a picture of all that they've arrived. You can come in. Don't worry about me speaking. Just come in and come to the front. You know, the kind of must be, we've used a lot of pictures and analogies this morning. It's about battles and wars. And I've got a list of things I wanted to share. And the list went Roman soldiers, spiders, meerkats, sleeping beauty and pants. I'm not going to get to talk about all those things. But they all had a meaning. They may not, you better find the Bible reference to them. But they all had a meaning because God speaks to us through pictures. Guys, do you want to come down the front? This is the front here with a scary bit. And you can just come and sit at the front whilst I just talk, whilst we wait for the little ones to arrive, because we're all going to pray together. And you know how the traditional must be told many times within the church illustration of the Roman soldiers coming together and getting their swords and putting them together so they make what I consider to be an armadillo, but I don't know if that's the technical term. But it's like a cage and a covering to protect them as they go into battle. Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay, so I saw a picture of that. And then if you imagine it made like a case around and a space where all of us as adult soldiers were holding up these shields, and underneath we could allow our little ones to grow and to grow up and to become strong in all of the things that God has for them. But then in this picture, it went from being like kind of deeply spiritual and serious to the way that God speaks to me more often, which is more like a cartoon. And I saw a couple of the children who were characters suddenly start sticking their heads up in between the soldiers and going, between the shields, sort of like sticking up their heads and their hands and going, just like children do between this very serious protection thing. And it was, God wanted to say something. He wanted to say that if we keep our children protected and we keep them separated from everything that there is in the world to protect them, which is what we should do, if we don't train them when they're in the midst of that place, if we don't give them what they need, when they do get to the place where they have to emerge from our protection and our covering, they will just be silly and they'll stick their heads up between the shield and they'll go to the enemy and they can be picked off. So it's, we need to, as a body, train our children and train our young people. But actually this isn't, if you're switching off and saying, oh, this is just a word for parents and a word for children's leaders. It's not, because God is, as Jane just said, taking us into a new season. We've come through a season where we've been pruned as a church and in our hearts and as a people. And when you are pruned for growth. And it's springtime. And the new leaves are coming. But God said to me during the week that the leaves are coming, but the fruit's coming too at the same time. That as the new shoots come, the fruit's going to come. And we're going to see this place change because many, many people need to come and receive the mercy that God was bringing us in the worship time. That mercy, that forgiveness, that wholeness, that place of belonging, that place of safety. So many of our friends and neighbours need that. So we're not just talking about raising up these actual fabulous young people and even tiny ones who are just arriving. We're talking about, even within ourselves, we're at different stages in our relationship with God. And the new people that God's going to bring us, we need to give them protection, we need to guard them, but we need to train them in the way they should go. I just really super quickly, because I don't want to run out of time for this, but Sarah and I were praying with Jane during the week, she gave me she just talked to us about this thing she'd seen on YouTube where meerkats, when they're training up their babies, they give them, because they eat scorpions, who knew? Anyway, when they give them scorpions, what they do is, the first thing they do is they give the babies a dead scorpion with no sting for them to attack. And so they learn you attack scorpions. And then when they've got the hang of that, they give them a live scorpion with no sting. And they learn to attack that. And then they're let loose on the real thing. And that's the season of what we need to be going into with each other. We need to be encouraging one another and encouraging our young people, encouraging if you have children, then training your children in the way they should go. If you don't have children and you're in this body, you are in this body in Horsham that God has called you to be a part of. And you are spiritual mothers and fathers and grandparents in the house. And so you also have a responsibility. It's been a dedication this morning. We've stood as a church to say, we will stand by these families and these young people. We will stand by the over 90s. We will stand by, people from every walk of life and every situation. We will stand together as a body, which is what you've been learning about this morning, isn't it? About how we're all put together as a body. Some of you made puppets. Some of you stuck faces on potatoes to make potato people, putting all the bits together. Just talking about the fact that we all together as a church family are the body of Christ in Horsham. And we are here to build one another up, to love one another, to show one another mercy, and to stand in unity so that we can see God pour himself on us in a new way, that we can turn out and see this town changed. We can see people's lives changed, transformed. We can see people step into their destinies and everything that God has for them. So, children, thank you for coming. What I'd like you to do is if you could stand up and spread along the front, right away along the front, and turn around and face all the grown-ups. And you see them all spread. Well, look, can you turn around? Do you want to wave to the grown-ups? They might wave back. Well done. Excellent. So now, grown-ups, if you belong to one of these young people, can you come to the front and hold their hand and stay here? Okay, so if you're a grown-up, if you've got other small people with you, or there's more than one grown-up that belongs, you've got grannies and aunties and whoever you may be, come and find your small people and take them by the hand. We might need to spread out a little bit. All of those sitting back thinking, got out of this because I don't have to move because my children aren't in the children's work. Then it's your turn to come and join up. And what we're going to do is we're going to hold hands across everywhere. So, excellent. So don't be afraid. You can spread out because everybody's coming to join us now. We're all going to hold hands together. So next people, this is everybody sat down on their bottoms. Would you like to stand up? Now you come and hold on to somebody's hand. So we spread out. Yeah. So we spread out down the aisles. Does somebody want to call the crash people to come in? I think we haven't got them. Now, when you bring children into church, there's always the possibility that the children won't do as they're told. Right now, grown-ups, it's the grown-ups who aren't doing as they're told. So all the grown-ups in the aisles stood there thinking if we stay still, she'll forget about us. Out you come. You need to spread out down the aisle so that everybody is holding hands with everybody else. Everybody is holding hands. You can spill over the chairs. You can stand on the chairs. You can stand in the aisles and on the steps. We're going to forget all that grown-upness and just get together. So if you're not holding somebody's hand, with that hand, wave it in the air and somebody else can grab hold of your hand. Sound desk people are isolated, so you at the back can grab the sound desk if you turn around to sound desk people. Yeah, okay. So what are we doing? Have they gone bonkers? In the Bible, very often, when God wants to do something real, he asks us to do something practical as a sign of our willingness to allow him to do something real and spiritual within us. Yeah. And we need to stand together now as a body. A body together, made up of all sorts of different people. If you look around the people you're holding hands with, it may be people you know, they may be your family, you may not know the name of the people you're stood next to. But right now, this morning, you are a part of God's body here in Horsham. You might be a big toe, you might be an armpit, you might be an eyebrow. I don't know. All of those things mean different things because God has called us all together as a body so that we can serve and encourage one another, so we can show mercy and grace and love to one another, so we can build one another up in our faith and our relationship with God, so we can become strong, so that we can protect our little ones and cause them to grow up strong, so that actually what we can do is at the moment you're all looking in at me at the front. But when the Holy Spirit comes and anoints us as a body, if we turned round, we would be facing the whole of Horsham. And as a body before God, with the Holy Spirit flowing through us, with us loving one another, caring for one another, picking one another up when we fell down, protecting one another, and hearing God and doing it, then we can make an impact in this town like it's never been seen before, which is what God's calling us to. Jane's going to pray for us, but just before, I just want to share two really random pictures. I asked two of our young people this morning to tell me what God wanted to do this morning. What did God want to say? And the youngest one said to me, God wants to say this morning that we should listen to what he says and then we should do it and then everything will be okay. Which is pretty much the whole of the Bible in one sentence. And then the other one said, I have a picture of spiders, and the spiders are coming, and we're like a bird's nest full of babies, and the spiders are coming to attack the nest, and we need to stand and we need to guard the nest so that we can see the spiders squished and defeated, and so that we can see everybody grow up to do everything that God wants. Now that's the message that James brought this morning, that we need to stand on our guard with one another. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our children. Shall we pray?
Okay, Father. Yeah, Father, we're just doing what we felt you say to do this morning. Lord, we come before you as family. Lord, linked together, arm in arm, every age, Lord, every generation, to stand, Lord, as your army, to stand as family, that every single one of us belongs to you. And every single one of us belongs to one another. That, Lord, each one of us would know that we belong. Each one of us would know that we belong to you and that we belong to one another, Lord. Do continue to do a deep work. Holy Spirit, just move upon us now, Lord. Move throughout us now, Lord. Lord, breathe on us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would stand, each one of us rise up. Lord, there will be no orphan spirit in this place in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, each one of us would know we belong to the other. Each one of us would be secure, Lord, to stand up in who we are, to stand up in our giftings and our callings, because this is a safe place. Lord, we declare this is a safe place for our children. It's a safe place for the next generation of young ones to grow up in, Lord, and to be. It's a safe place for them to come into their giftings and their callings. We just speak over Kingdom Faith. It's a safe place for people to come into, Lord, where they will come into family. They will come into belonging. They will come into love. They will come into acceptance. They would feel welcome. Lord, this would be a safe place because your love is at work and moving amongst us, Lord. Father, do a deep work. Lord, we just ask to you, Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, to just release every single one of us right now out of any sin, out of any slavery, out of any captivity. Lord, that each one of us would be free, Father, to move into our destiny. Each one of us would be free to move into the destiny and the inheritance that you have over every single life. Lord, every single one of us, has, you have a plan and a purpose, a good plan and purpose for our good and not for our harm. Lord, that every single one of us who walk free of fear. Lord, fear, you come down in the name of Jesus in this place. And we speak freedom. We speak freedom. We speak freedom over every person, over every child, over every adult, Lord. Freedom to move in our gifting and our calling. We thank you, Jesus, that we're here for you. Lord, that your glory would be seen in us, glorious freedom would be seen in us that our towns and cities need, Lord. And it's your glory, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You continue to do a deep work amongst us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Clap yourselves and one another. That's it, really. Great. Thank you and have an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.